You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's racing podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack, and joining me in the studio to have a look at the races is Pimmers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Jack. What a pleasure to be having our debut podcast together.
I know.
Goodness gracious me. I've been waiting for months, old chap. Waiting for months.
Well, we'll have to make it a memorable one.
Well, let's try. Usually my podcasts are memorable, but for all the wrong reasons.
I'll take that. That's fine with me.
Good.
Okay, so we spoke about this on yesterday's podcast when I had Sam Turner with me. But
Sam Turner?
Yeah.
Of the old Daily Mail, yeah, of the old...
The Sam Turner.
Robin Goodfellow fame.
Yeah.
Sam Five Naps Turner, as I call him.
That's him, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Believe it or not, he was in that chair yesterday.
Well, I thought it was smelling rather splendid of, you know, eau de cologne or Old Spice or something.
Well... That's what you call it.
He's dapper, he's old Samuel.
He certainly is. And he was laughing at these comments on the front of the Racing Post. Mark Johnston, who suggested that ITV should get rid of all of betting. The comeback today is that bookmakers have hit back and said, without betting revenues, most races, Mark Johnston's horses in just wouldn't take place.
Well, first of all, I looked at the paper. I thought, what date is it? Is this April the Fool? Because that was just crackers from Mark Johnston. I mean, he is known to be fairly outspoken and fairly opinionated, but I think that was a wind-up. And I mean, again, for him to say that they needed Tomo back because he's the best interviewer, cor blimey. I just wish I knew what he had to drink, that Mark Johnston. I'd love a bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it was strong, wasn't it? Because those opinions have been, well, that I suppose met with disdain by most people within the industry.
I think a lot of people, yeah. I mean, there were one or two letters in the Racing Post today sort of defending what he was saying, and I can agree to him to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, like he says about football, cricket, well, let's remember that initially, and still does, horse racing and betting have gone hand in hand for hundreds of years. But... not so much football and betting, cricket and betting, motor racing and betting. All those other things have come along the line later. You know what I mean? So I think that's possibly why you don't get so much interaction via the betting market in the other sports.
Yeah, and those sports would survive without the betting market, you would assume. Obviously, barring a few shirt sponsors, I suppose, not being on football strips. But those sports would continue regardless, wouldn't they?
Oh, they would, yeah. And I think, again, we've got to look at ourselves quite closely, the support from the bookmakers, because obviously he's a major player. And as I think it was one of our colleagues from another company saying, you know, he wouldn't be having horses run races, or they won't be running for as much prize money, if any prize money, because the bookmakers aren't there to support it. So I think he's certainly opened up a little bit of a can of worms, a hornet's nest or wherever, but it might just roll for a little bit longer. But by the same token, I'd agree with him again, right, like how they tried to revamp Top Gear and it didn't work. Again, they've got to do something with the racing ITV. They've got to make it more appealing to a wider audience. And again, I think possibly bogging them down with too much betting could be an issue as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they've got to open it up to a wider audience. You've still got to have the betting, of course you have. But again, maybe not quite as in-depth, and maybe a few more insights to it rather than deep analysis.
Perhaps that's what he was trying to say. I suggest that maybe his words were possibly not taken out of context, but maybe he went to one extreme with that. What he was saying is should have been cut down on betting, as you were saying, but he said get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, well, you can't do that,
no.
That's for sure. But I think, you know, there is an opportunity where the ITV can, you know, make it a more favourable programme for a wider audience.
Yeah.
But you still got to have the betting there in some shape and form.
Tough gig for ITV. They've got to get that new audience in that will be kicking around because, well, Channel 4 didn't manage it really, did they?
No, they didn't. Again, the other thing that bothered me about Channel 4 is, you know, you just were so quick to adverts. And again, I know that helps with the revenue and everything, but you never really got any continuity, did you? You never really got involved because all of a sudden you get somewhere along the line and then off they went to Adverts.
And there was nothing like to take away your excitement for a forthcoming race and a very quick advert break just before the off.
Oh, yeah. We'll just take a little break, boom. Yeah. And then next thing is they're in the stalls and off.
Yeah, really drain the excitement out of any race, a set of adverts.
Especially for such like as, you know, foot odour or, you know, dentures or stuff like that.
Walking,
you know,
baths.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anything like that would just sort of dampen the enthusiasm for a 5-furlong dash.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting, and I'm sure the debate will rumble on. It'll be interesting to see what ITV do as well. I'm sure more news will come out of that camp as we get closer. Also making the front of the Racing Post, Wednesday's Racing Post, was Hayley Turner, who on Friday is returning despite retiring in November.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a positive. I was in the studio when it first came out that she was going to ride back in the Shergar Cup. And I said, well, hang on a minute. You know, she can't just come back for the Shergar Cup. She's got to have, you know, some match practice to get her A, match fit, and B, get her back in the zone again. So I think it's a good thing that she's doing it. Our very own Dale the Legend Gibson said they'd already got her booked for the Legends race at Doncaster. So again, you know, she needs to be riding if she's going to be riding in certainly the Shergar Cup. I think it's a positive move that she's getting back race riding fit.
Yeah, she's in a maiden at Newmarket on Friday on board a Marco Botti horse. So yeah, I suppose that one will be less under the limelight ahead of the Shergar Cup. So be good practice, like you said.
Yeah, she needs that to get in the zone.
And finally, just before we have a look at the races on Thursday, the Irish Oaks has a couple more British raiders going over there. Ajman Princess and Architecture have both been supplemented for this. So there are a couple of rivals to Evensong, and these horses know each other well, don't they?
They do know each other well. I mean, I think, to be fair, at the cost of €40,000, it's more than likely a shrewd move by both trainers, because obviously if they can get some black type there on Saturday in that Group 1 race, then obviously that's going to, you know, enhance the value of both fillies. So I think it's a clever move. Whether they're going to be good enough to give the favourite a little bit of a shake, who knows? But I think, again, positive move by both trainers.
Certainly makes it more interesting from a betting heat as well. Let's look at the races then on Thursday. We have a couple of evening cards from Doncaster and Epsom that we'll look at shortly. But let's start with some afternoon racing from Leicester. 250 is the race that we are going to have a look at first. We're also going to have a quick look at the 325 momentarily. But this is a Class 4, and there are 7 runners here, so quite a small field. What do you make of this one?
I thought it was fairly trappy, to be perfectly honest. It's just a shame 7 do head to post, because obviously we're looking at that each-way angle. One or two of these horses been in good form of late. Ganina, the top one, is a course and distance winner in the past for the Pam Sly stable. Aleko's been in good form for Mark Johnson, knocking on the door, but the door hasn't quite opened. But the two I'm sort of interested in here is that previous winners last time out on the bill, trained by Ed Dunlop, and Sylvester de Souza on board this one. He was a readied winner at Kempton last time out in a maiden over 7 furlongs. He just got there on the last stride of that race in beating Highland Dragon. There could well be a little bit more to come from him. And also Miss Carbonilla is an interesting one. Ismail Mohammed trains this one. And again, he was in good form at the weekend, winning the Magnet Cup at York. And there could be a little bit more to come from this horse. A readied winner on her debut, again in a maiden at Lingfield over 7 furlongs. She won by 3.5 lengths. There could be a little bit more to come from her. And that's where the pin is going to fall in this 250 at Leicester. Hopefully that there's lots more to come from Miss Carbonier.
Hopefully, yeah. That's running for Ian Mohammed, as you said. And 35 minutes later, we move on to the 325 from Leicester. You bemoaned the fact there were only 7 and it took away any each-way value in that previous race. We've just scraped the 8 here in this one, in this 7-furlong race. What do you make of it?
Again, it's a race for fillies only, so very competitive. Again, not a bad prize on offer, 10,000 guaranteed prize money. So a good purse to be picked up here. Very, very competitive. I thought there was the two that sort of interest me the most were Bargain Buy, who slightly disappointed last time out when was 4th, when it was a beaten favourite as well. That was at Yarmouth behind Sing Your Song. Again, prior to that, Bargain Buy had been in good form. And the other one I like the look of is Prying Pandora, course and distance winner for the Richard Fahey Yard. And again, won well here last time out. Made all on that occasion to beat Hillside Dream by 4.5 lengths. And again, I think confidence will have been buoyed by that success for Frying Pandora. And I can think the Fahi bandwagon will continue to roll on.
OK, we will see. That's the 3:25 at Leicester. They're the two afternoon races that we're going to look at. Let's move to the evening cards then. Epsom 8:20 coming up very shortly. But first, 8:10 from Doncaster. This is also over the 7 furlongs. It's a Class 3 race, and there are plenty to sort out here.
Well, thank goodness you've given me an 18-runner handicap, fella, because I thought life was just getting so goddamn easy with those small fields. Very competitive race. Pays your money and takes your chance for me in this. I'll give you a couple against the field. The informed Johnny Cavingin, he won at Pontefract last time out. To be fair, Ponty does seem to be his favourite track, but he ran well enough in defeat prior to that here at Donny. So again, he could put up another good performance for trainer Ronnie Thompson and Jimmy Quinn. And the other horse that I thought could run well is the David Lochnane runner, Fuawit, I think we're going to pronounce it. Should be an each-way price. Yard's in good form at the moment, and I think he's been running slightly better than his finishing positions have suggested the last couple of times, and he could be a little bit of an each-way slant there. So Johnny Cavingin and Fuet.
OK, a couple to look at in that 18-runner field then at Doncaster. 8:10, very competitive race. And we move to 10 minutes later, where there are eight runners in the 8:20 from Epsom. This should be, hopefully, a little easier to sort out.
Yeah, it's fairly competitive, though, to be fair, Jack. Eight of them heading to post for this 7-furlong event. And the one that looks interesting is, the Fahi running Penn with them, who has been in very, very consistent form of late. Ran well enough in defeat at Chester last time out when behind Arcanda. Again, only half a length behind that one on that occasion. That was a competitive race. Just didn't settle quite as well as he possibly could do, but again, in the hands of Tony Hamilton tomorrow evening, he's certainly going to be a player. And the same can be said about Black Bess, who's very, very consistent at this moment in time. Doesn't seem to know how to run a bad race. And again, for the Jim Boyle and Pat Gosgrove combination, Black Bess could well run a big, big race again tomorrow evening. Steps up to 7 furlongs, which may well suit.
OK, Black Bess, then the selection in the final race, the 8:20 from Epsom. Keep your eyes on all of the selections, and don't forget you can listen to William Hill Racing Radio throughout the afternoon. They'll have every race covered long into the evening as well. Pimmers, thank you very much for your company on the podcast today.
My pleasure.
And the podcast will be back on Friday. All of the William Hill podcasts are available on the news page of the website.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.